we're believing to learn to walk in the power and the joy and the love of the Holy Spirit as we continue to understand what it is to make Jesus the center of our lives. Part of my responsibility as lead pastor is not only prepare the word, but to hear from the Lord about the word we need to hear outside of our church family and our larger Richmond area kingdom family. And our speaker today, Tim Matthews, is a very close friend of mine for many years, close friend of my family, big part of our Richmond kingdom community. And he is also going to be the youth retreat speaker for the youth for their winter retreat coming up in January. So you'll see that information there. His wife Georgie is with us, and I'll let him choose how to allow her to stand or otherwise. So if she's already told I'm not standing, then you don't have to worry about it. And would you welcome them as they come, Tim, if you just come and bless us.
Thanks, Johnny. Love you, man.
I'm going to head down.
I'll see you. Yeah, see you after. Awesome. Sweet. Well, good morning. How is everybody doing? Doing well? Yeah, good, good. I'm glad to be here this morning. I've known Pastor Sean. I call him Shawnee. He calls me Timmy. And I know him for a long time when I didn't have the dreads and he had more hair. So you notice I said that when he was leaving, right? Yeah, we go way back. Actually, his brother Seth married my wife and I. He officiated that service. We just go way back. So Cornerstone is definitely family to us. And as I said, my name's Tim Matthews. I travel and speak, and I love sharing the gospel of Jesus, just his love. And I love Cornerstone because it's a church that you can serve God and have fun at the same time. Amen. And it's just a place you enjoy being. So thank you all. I want to start off by saying just thank you all just for being here. Now, my wife is here, Miss Georgie, and we're actually expecting one on the way. Here's a picture of our family so far. Right there. That's right. That's our little girl. She does not have a name yet, but if you have any suggestions, just hit us up on Facebook. Yeah, we're really excited about her. And it's crazy because this being our first child is just, and for those who've gone through this experience and God's blessed you to be parents, you know, once the kids enter to the picture, your whole life just begins to change and your thinking begins to change. And I want to start off this way with that picture there to remind you of a couple of things about our God. The crazy thing about this girl is that she doesn't even know me yet. I don't even know her name. I have yet to see her smile. I have yet to just spend some time with my daughter. But already I love her. I love her so much already. And honestly, she did nothing to deserve this love so far. All she did was give my wife sleepless nights so far, kicking her all the time. And so honestly, it's not like she deserves this love. I'm just freely loving her, and my heart is pounding with anticipation of her arrival. I just can't wait for my girl to be here in about 7 weeks now. And the crazy thing about the love that I have for her is that when I read the scriptures, when I read the Bible, I see that authors of the Bible talks about God's love for us that way. That even for those who wouldn't even call yourself a Christian, you wouldn't even say that you're a follower, you haven't been born again, that God's heart is pounding for you and he's waiting for your arrival into his kingdom. And even for us as his sons and daughters, sometimes we got to remember that God isn't just some mystical being that we worship. And no, he's our father and he's a great one and that he loves us. And I love this picture because it just reminds me of the blessing that God is bringing into our family and it reminds me of God's love. This scripture says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." It's almost like when you're growing up, you ever heard someone say, "I know you know it, but do you know it?" You know, like, "I know you get it, but do you get it?" They just repeat themselves a lot. This is the thing about the love of God is that we could talk about it all day and I can give you a lot of scriptures. But hopefully this morning we can all experience it in a way that surpasses our thinking. Aren't you happy that God is bigger than our thoughts? Right. I'm so happy I can't figure him out because that would be a really small God. All right. I love that he's bigger than that. And his love is just so grand to the point where it's beyond our knowledge. But it's something that he wants us to experience this morning. And during worship in the first service, God reminded me of these scriptures that Jesus prayed. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking to his father, who he loves, and he actually prays a prayer, and he's talking about you, and he's talking about me. And this is what he says in John 17, and he says it twice in verses 23 and 26, if you want to look at it later. He says, "Father, I simply pray this. I pray that the same love that you love me, that you'll love them." I pray that they understand that. I pray that people will understand, not just my disciples, but that those that are going to believe after them, that they will understand this, that the same way that you love me, you love them. And I don't know your story this morning. I don't know where you are in your faith, but I want to encourage you this way before we get in our message, that the same way the Father loved his son Jesus, it's the same way that he loves you. Some of you may doubt if God listens to your prayers or if he answers your prayers, but how many of you guys believe that the Father answers Jesus' prayers at least, right? All right. He prayed that, and I think that the Father answers his prayers. So I just want to start off encouraging us that with that this morning. Going back to my daughter, she has no idea the preparation is taking for her to come. I mean, my wife and I, we were living in a one-bedroom apartment, and she got pregnant. I'm just like, well, we're going to have to get some space. Well, we need a house, Lord. You know, like, we need something that God provided. So from the houses to the showers that my wife is having to me trying to figure out how to put together this crib, and let's just be honest, I don't know how to put together anything, all right? I told the first service, seriously, I'm a city kid. I didn't grow up in a country with woods and building stuff, you know what I mean? I know how to play basketball, you know what I'm saying? And we got this crib that has just been sitting up in the room forever that I got to put together. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of prayer. This child is even a miracle child that God blessed us with. It's a lot of preparation. And my daughter doesn't even know how foolish I would look to show her how much I love her. Right now, I'm from the inner city of Richmond. I grew up in Southside Richmond. I'm not talking about Chesterfield. I'm talking about the South Side that some of y'all don't go to. You know what I'm talking about. And where the pizza man don't go to. You know what I'm talking about. The Chinese food always came, though. They bold. They always came. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, I grew up there, so I have my own, like, kind of swag, my own charisma and different things like that and what I like to do. But my daughter, if she comes up to me one day, it's like, Daddy, you want to have a tea party? I'm like, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll do anything, right? If she wants to be a princess, I'm not going to dress up like a princess, but if she wants to play those games and want to have fun with me, man, I will look foolish to show her how much I love her because of the preparation and all the things I've put in for her that my wife and I are praying about and working for her. And I reminded the first service, I want to remind you that how foolish is the love of God that he will actually send his own son to die for us. Not to die for us, to live the life we couldn't, die the death that we deserve, rise again, but then gift us with his spirit. How foolish is that? That's crazy. I mean, and then that prayer that I got to remind you of, that Jesus prayed for you over thousands of years ago, that Father, the same love that you love me, love them. Now, I know we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and at church, we're supposed to all get along, right? Supposed to all, I love you, brother, right? Can I be honest? I don't love y'all at all compared to my daughter. All right? If I have to play favorites, she wins every time, right? My wife, my kid, family, then y'all down there. I don't even know y'all, right? Y'all down there, right? But Jesus says this. He says, hey, Father, no, wait. The same love that you love me, the same love them. So I'm going to say some hard things this morning to challenge us, to convict us, but to encourage us, but all of it's done in love. I believe as we begin to talk about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, as you've been talking about for the last couple of weeks here at the church, I believe it's an expression of his love. And I wanted to remind us of that this morning. Right? Ephesians 3:20. Love this verse. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. This verse displays the heart of God. In Ephesians 3:20, just explains the heart of God. And that's what I want to see happen. I want to see God do something in your life and this work that he's prepared for you that just be so amazing that your imagination can't even begin to grasp it. But experiencing the love of God to the fullest and living what God has called for you and he's intended for you to do isn't possible unless you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't possible at all, right? And it's exciting to talk about the love of God. It's exciting to talk about the work that he's preparing for us. But I got to tell you this and remind you of this, because you've been hearing this for the last couple of weeks. Unless you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, unless you commune and fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit, you're really not going to experience all that God has for you. And I don't want you to miss it. don't know about you, but when you like watching a live sports event, right, it's one thing to see the replay, but it's a whole other thing to see live, right? Hey, ladies, if you want to see grown men act like 12-year-old cheerleaders, watch Sunday Night Football, okay? Something happens live, and these big guys go, yeah! You know what I mean? They just become something else, right? It's something about seeing something in the moment. You might get the replay, like, oh, that was cool. But somehow seeing something in the moment, 2 seconds left, the quarterback just throws the Hail Mary, and then they catch it. You're just like, oh, man, you missed it. You missed it. And sometimes we come to church, and if we're not paying attention, we can miss a great moment. We can miss the fullness of God. And the way we miss that is not being in tune with the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to simply talk about that this morning. The crazy thing is this, though. We got to be honest in church, right? If you can't be honest here, you can't be honest anywhere, all right? I love this quote by Francis Chan. It says this. It says, the irony is that while God doesn't need us but still wants us, we desperately need God but don't really want him most of the time. Ouch. That's true. Crazy thing about God and his love, like I said, just like my daughter doesn't deserve my love, we don't deserve it. I know maybe when you were growing up, your mom and dad looked at you like, oh, you're perfect. They were lying. But all these things are great, and you're just the best, and you deserve the world. The Bible says this, we don't deserve God's love. And that's what makes it great, because he freely gives it to us anyway. Right? And I love what Francis Chan said. He said, you know what? We desperately need God. He doesn't need us. But he wants us and he uses us. But we desperately need him. And sometimes we just don't want him around. Right? Don't raise your hand because maybe that person's in the room. But do you have someone in your family that you love but you don't like that much? Right? I love you. We related, but I don't like you. Right? Sometimes it's so easy for us to get this church language and say, oh, yeah, we love God, worship God. But then when it comes to the things that he's commanding us to do and listening to the Holy Spirit, like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, let's just be honest. If I said, hey, you can't even walk in the fullness of what God has for you apart from the Holy Spirit, that means this, that you must be dependent on someone other than yourself. And as a young black man growing up where I grew up and trying to accomplish success in what I have to do, I hate being dependent on anyone else. One thing, and my father's here this morning, one thing he taught me about working hard is like, Tim, before you ask for a hand, you use the two that God gave you. You work hard. And my father worked very, very, very hard for me. He worked very, very hard for my family. So it's hard for me to even ask for help sometimes. It's hard for me to understand that I can't work hard enough to make sure my family's successful or make sure that the ministry's going well. It's hard for me as a young man to ask for help. And sometimes as adults, we forget that we're still just God's children and we need to ask the Holy Spirit for help every single day. We desperately need him, but sometimes we don't want him. Sometimes we don't want him. And today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, well, why don't we want God sometimes if we're honest? I want to talk about this misconception that we can have as believers about surrendering our life to God so that the Holy Spirit can have his way. Because let's just be honest with you. Let me be honest. I want you to walk in the fullness of God. I want God's Spirit to fill your life. But why would God fill you with his Spirit if you're just going to continue in disobedience? Right? The Holy Spirit, I know you've heard this before, the Holy Spirit isn't just this power like may the force be with you. It's not like that. Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible says that we can grieve the Spirit of God. Right? So why would God continue to pour out his Spirit in big ways and see God do some crazy things and God hook us up when honestly we just want the Holy Spirit to continue to help us do our own thing, which we're going to talk about. Let's just be honest, man. Sometimes growing up, man, I saw how people treated God, and basically no one talked about God until trouble happened, right? Everyone's living their own life, trying to do their own thing, and then when trouble happens, who do they cry out to? God, right? And you know what happens when we do that? Sometimes we can treat God like insurance. Oh, I'm in trouble. Like a good neighbor, Jesus is there, right? We do that. We do that. You know what the crazy thing is, though? Understanding the Father, heart of God, and how the Holy Spirit works. You know what's crazy? Even when we pray those prayers and we treat him like insurance, he's so generous that he still serves us. Isn't that crazy? He still shows up even though we didn't even talk to him until we got in trouble. Right? Even though we didn't listen to him. But I want us to move past that. I want us to mature in our faith. yeah, we're children of God, but we don't have to be childlike in that sense. We need to be mature in our faith. And I want to talk about what it means to surrender our lives to God fully so that the Holy Spirit will have his way in our lives. Watch this scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. It's on the screen. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, for we were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." You were bought with a price. You're bought with a price. So glorify God. See, I want to talk about this verse because sometimes we can read our Bibles and just by a show of hands, let's just see who's in the room. Let's just be honest. How many of you guys have ever read your Bible and didn't understand what it was fully saying? Anyone? Yep. See, you're not alone, right? You're not alone. I want to break down this scripture, and this is going to help us when we talk about fully surrendering our lives to God. All right? Let me start off with this example. Let's say, for instance, these armies go to war, right? And they're just duking it out. Boom, boom, boom. But somehow, some way, one army just prevails. It's stronger, and the enemy is seeing, man, if we don't surrender soon, we're going to lose everything, right? So once the white flag goes up, surrender, the war is over. Question, how many times do you have to surrender until the war is over? How many times? Once. It's a done deal. You surrender, you lose. You're done. Well, sometimes when it comes into the body of Christ and sometimes when teachers are speaking, we try to put language on the things of God so that, you know, we can all understand it. But I think we miss something. It could be real easy for me to say, hey, today, you all, especially believers, you have to surrender your life to Christ. You know what's crazy? That already happened. The moment you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what happened? That verse says you've been bought. You've been bought. This is not your life. You can't just do your thing. It's actually not about you anymore. Actually never was about you. But this verse says, do you not know that your body is just the temple of the Holy Spirit from whom you have from God, which is a great thing. Watch this. You are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. You don't belong to you. Guess what? This isn't your life. Honestly and lovingly, I say this. You don't have a life anymore. Know why? Something greater. Your life belongs to Christ. If he shed his own blood to purchase you, that means that you have value. That means that you are loved. That means that you are cared for. But sometimes we forget that. And this is what we do, and I do this in my own life. We go on these spiritual roller coasters where we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, and then we're not. Then we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, and then we're not. And then we come to services, go, God, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I give you my life. I give you my life. I give you my life. You know what I think God says sometimes? I already have it. It's already mine. You don't have to give me your life anymore. Just live as though I already own it. I paid for it. Right? I'm so happy that my life belongs to God because as a loving father, he's going to take full responsibility for it. You've been bought by God himself. So it makes sense when he says glorify God in your body. Let me give you some practicality. And I know we have a lot of visitors and we're so happy that you're here with us this morning. I want to bring it practical. How many of you guys have ever tried a diet and failed at it? Let me see your hands. Yes. Some of you like right now, right? All right. I'm about to mess up your lunch right now, just to let you know. This is what I hear people say, and I used to say this until God really showed me this even in the scripture. I was like, God, help me take care of my body. Help me take care of my body. You know what God reminded me in the scripture? Whose body is it? His. This body is no longer mine. I'm just trying to be a good steward of God's body. That's why I take care of myself. So hopefully I help you out, right? Hopefully when you're about to throw down some wings this afternoon, whatever your diet says, don't say, oh, this is what I want. This is what I want. If you're trying to do things right, you know, come on. We do this all the time, people, right? You know who you are. You go to McDonald's, you supersize it, and then you get a water to drink. What's that about? Get a soda. You just put that many calories in. Can I have a water? Or you do this, Diet Coke. You ate a Big Mac. You know, come on. So this is what I want you to do, right? You got to understand this is that sometimes we do things and do we expect the water or the Diet Coke to cancel out. Sometimes we act as if our lives belong to us. They go into shambles. We get into trouble. We ask God to bail us out. Instead of walking and listening to what the Holy Spirit has for us and letting Him lead our life, we try to do our own thing, we fail, and then we just go, well, let me go to Sunday church, and that should cancel it out. It doesn't. His forgiveness is here. His love is here. But it doesn't. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Watch this. So what's the alternative lifestyle? It says this. 2 Corinthians says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all. Then it says that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let me break that down. One, so because of God's love, he purchased me through the precious blood of his son, okay? He's filled me with his spirit. The Holy Spirit is an expression of God's love. So now the love of Christ controls me. He controls my life. I don't control my life. My career doesn't control my life. My daughter, even though I bragged about her so much, she's not going to control my life. My wife, who I love and I love with all my heart, she doesn't control my life. My ministry and my goals, my aspiration, I don't live for that or them. I live for him and I allow his love to control me. Right? Right? And I love this. It says that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died and was raised for us. One thing about children, and I know I'm not a father yet. I know I'm not an expert, but I can tell you this about parenting. You don't have to teach kids to be selfish, do you? No. You got to teach them how to what? Share. They come out mine. No, it's not. You know what I mean? They come out selfish, right? And even as adults, we're still kind of selfish. We have selfish moments. The Holy Spirit, if you're even dealing with being selfish or trying to live a selfless life, guess what? You can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will help you to live selflessly. As I was walking around church, I saw a guy by the name of Mario, and he had he was wearing a lanyard, and on it, I love what it said, serving joyfully. I love that. That he's here at church, he's serving, but it's not just his Christian duty, but by the power of the Spirit of God, Spirit of God has showed him how to love Jesus, how to serve others, and enjoy doing it. Today, you have an opportunity, I just learned this through the video announcement, to come back to church. Me here at 2, and to go to Shady Hill, and to serve. You could do that joyfully. Let's just be honest. You're like, man, can we be honest? You're like, Tim, I already did the church thing today. I got to go back? Right? Let's just be honest at church. You mean tell me I got to go back at 2? The food's still, I'm still digesting the Big Mac, right? I got things to do. Hey, how about this? Pray this. All right, God, my life is not my own. You bought my life. Which then means this, today is not my day. My time is no longer my time. Instead of trying to fit God, the creator, into my day, I ask God, God, what do you want me to do with your day? Hey, God, come on, we all been in. I got to fit in my Bible, my Bible stuff. I got to fit in my prayer. Fit God in, or should we fit into his plan, right? So what about this? What if we all as a body of Christ said this? Oh, I'm going to go home. We're going to have a good time, eat some lunch real quick. Hey, Father, You've blessed me with a church that's actually not just focused in on itself, but is focused on their neighbors and their community. Hey, Father, would you like me to go? Since your love controls me, since you bought me, since I'm your child, would you like me to go? Ask them that question. See what happens. Trust me, Sean didn't pay me to say this, so y'all can go. I'm just going to let you know that, all right? I'm not trying to manipulate you in any way. I'm just trying to show you practically how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit when you understand you're no longer the ownership of your time. But you can freely serve God. And trust me, talk to those who go to Shady Hill. Talk to those who've gone on mission trips. You end up loving it. Which you end up dreading going. Once you go and walk in obedience, you end up loving it. You end up trying to go there, take Christ there, or try to change a community. And you end up meeting people who actually change you. It's a beautiful thing when you serve the body of Christ. I love this. The love of Christ controls me, so I no longer, Tim, you're not supposed to live for yourself. You're supposed to live for the one who died for you. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Once again, the same language. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Same language. All over the Bible. This life is not mine. Why do I have to go to church every Sunday and surrender my life, surrender my life? No, it already belongs to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to walk this out. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. He is your life. Some of you probably heard this before, and anything worth hearing that's good is worth repeating. God doesn't want a part of your life. Here at Cornerstone, we teach he wants to be the center of your life. He is your life. He is your life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. Man, I really want us to get this. I really want us to get this. I'm so excited, as I said, about my daughter coming. But you know what? I know I'm going to be praying for her. We've been praying that she will. I've been praying for her future spouse. I've been praying for her attitude. I've been praying for her salvation. But even with all those prayers, let me be honest. My daughter is going to want to do her own thing one day. And she's going to be cute. She can really try to get away with it. And I'm going to ask her to do some things. And I'm going to command her to do some things. You know what she's going to say with a cute voice?
No.
Why?
I don't want to.
Now, we have different ways of how to handle discipline. We have different things about that. And in Matthew's house, there will be discipline. But hopefully I can lovingly show my daughter the love that the family has for her, what we've done to prepare for her, and that she's a part of a family. And part of a family that's larger than just her agenda. Yes, little kids have agendas. That's larger than what she wants to do. And show her that if she's obedient to me, if she's obedient to mom, if she listens to us, that it's actually for her good. And that when we ask her to do things and we command her to do things, right, we're not asking her to do things just because we want to manipulate her or just control her life. Because some of you, you may believe this morning, that God just wants control. God is on a power trip. Listen, God is not on a power trip. He is all powerful. And I don't want my daughter to have to come up to me and say, hey, dad, you know, I know I'm sorry for earlier not being obedient to you and saying no to you. But right now, this is all I have. Take it. Here's all my toys. Here's all my money. I'm like, baby, I gave you those toys. I gave you that money. It already belongs to me, honey. You're my daughter. Repent. Listen. Submit. Which we're going to get to. Submit. Just listen to daddy. That's what I want her to understand when she's here. And that's what God wants us to understand. So listening to all this, let's conclude here. It says this, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What does it look like to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit? That verse. I know we can get spiritual and mystical. This is real practical. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, listen, you don't have a spiritual life, and in your other life, hopefully. Hopefully you don't have, oh yeah, God time and my time after listening to this message. The Bible says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And watch this, you do it with a grateful heart, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks. When my daughter's obedient to me one day, I want her to be out of gratitude, not out of duty. Hopefully you're here this morning, not just because, oh, it's Sunday, I'm supposed to be here. It's a delight, isn't it? It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be in the body of Christ. Man, if I want to walk according to the Holy Spirit, does that mean I have to give God everything? No, if you're a believer, that means he actually has everything already. You need to act like that. You need to just live in that reality. So you know what's crazy? This would make sin so crazy. Sin is living in the illusion that we're still in control. When we sin against God, when we're disobedient to his voice, when we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, isn't an illusion like this. Okay, I've been bought with a Christ, bought with a price by Christ. Jesus loves me. Not only am I going to heaven one day, he's giving me his spirit. But even though all that is true, that's not going to affect what I do daily. If salvation is all about going to heaven, then when you accepted Jesus, he should have straight Star Trek'd you and beamed you up. If it's all about just going to heaven, you should say, Jesus, accept you in my heart. Boop, levitated. Where the heck did he go? He accepted Jesus. He's gone. if life is just, so what do we do in the 70 years? Well, how many years God allows us to live on this earth? We live according to the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that? In everything I say and every day I do it because of him, for him, gladly. Holy Spirit fills us in order to walk that out. And he answers that prayer every time to do what he's called us to do. Last slide. I love this quote by Charles Stanley. God takes full responsibility for the life wholly devoted to him. God takes full responsibility for the life wholly devoted to him. So, Tim, what's the response? How do I respond to this? Do I come down to the altar and give God everything again? Come on. I'm not saying what y'all heard is incorrect. I'm just saying it's incomplete. How can you give God everything more than once? All right, some of y'all don't get that. Okay, if I gave you all my money in my pocket, can I give you all my money in my pocket again? No. So instead of doing something really emotional and making you guys cry, because public speakers, we can do that. We get paid to play with your emotions sometimes, all right? Instead of just saying, okay, worship band, back up. Everyone come. I'm gonna lead you in a prayer so you can fully surrender your life to Christ. No. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to do something different. I'm going to mention a word that I mentioned earlier that I said we're going to get back to. I'm asking you to do one thing, and it's definitely your favorite word. Right? You're going to smile when you hear it. Submit. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell the believer to surrender their life every single day. But in Scripture, multiple times it says, as believers, we submit under the leadership of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit every day. It's not surrendering that God is asking for. He's asking for submission. Submission. Why do I submit to him? Because he is a loving father. He is a great master. He is wonderful. All those songs that we sung about how awesome he is, how powerful he is. That's why I joyfully submit unto him. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I don't know your list. I don't know the couple of things that you need to submit unto God. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is generous enough to speak to his believers and to tell us what we need, not to surrender to him, but to submit unto him. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a wrong motive. Maybe it's an attitude that we need to get in check. Maybe for some of you, it's, I never even thought about serving this afternoon. Why? Maybe it's you just submitting your time to him again and saying, God, forgive me for trying to fit you into my calendar. You're the creator. You're beautiful. God, I submit my calendar to you, and I just want you to tell me what to do with it. One thing I love about this example that we have today is that we pray for a family, and he's about to head off and go overseas to serve in the army. You know what's crazy? When he got his orders, I don't think he had too many options. Where they're like, hey, brother, how you doing? Would you like to come? Right? People in military get this a little bit more than us, right? It's your duty. You sign up for this. Hey, when you became a Christian, you sign up for this. It's our duty, but it's our delight. We're working not just for the government. We're working for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, for our Savior, for our Father, for our friend. So when he asks/commands us to do something, we say, sir, yes, sir, with a smile on our face. But not sir, we say, yes, Dad. Yeah, Dad, I'll do it. Does it take sacrifice? Yes, ask his wife. It does take sacrifice when someone is serving something larger than themselves. But it's worth it. Is it hard? Sure. But it's worth it. I can promise you that. So this is what I want us to do. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. And I want you just to ask God this question. I want you to ask the Lord. Say, Father, is there anything in my life that I need to submit under your leadership? Is there anything, or is there anyone, maybe it's a relationship, is there an area in my life where I haven't been walking as if the reality of you buying me, you loving me, your love controlling me, if it's any area of my life where my life doesn't reflect those things, God, would you reveal that? Ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, like, let me know what those things are. Give me the wisdom to know what they are. Give me the courage. Give me the courage to submit. Give me the courage to know what to do with what you tell me. As you pray, listen to these scriptures in Luke. There's a story, and speaking of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is speaking, and he ends the story by saying this: if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Some of you practically never ask for the Holy Spirit. You never ask for him to lead you and to guide you. You can ask at this moment. Holy Spirit, fill your people right now. Father, I pray to you that, God, that you would just be so generous again with your voice, and that you would speak to us and show us those things that aren't aligning to what you have for us. Show us the things that are, God, are flat out sinful. Father, we offer all that we are because we know we belong to you. But God, we say once again, we submit unto your leadership and we ask for forgiveness, Lord God, for living as bosses. God, I personally ask for forgiveness even this morning, wanting to do things for you, wanting to speak to your people more than talk to you. I ask personally for that forgiveness, Father. Would you forgive me? God, give me a heart that loves to spend time with you, that loves to talk to you more than I even love talking about you, Lord God. Father, I lift up this outreach that is happening just this afternoon in Shady Hill, Lord God. We know that there are people that need you, that need to know you, Lord God, and I pray that you would show us how to be the light of the world, God. You'll show us how to be loved to them, how to just simply show them what a life looks like that's fully given to Jesus. God, I pray that they would see our joy, that they would see our love, but more importantly, that they would see you. And God, that even today, Lord God, I pray that people will come to know you. God, I pray for salvations today. God, as we feed their stomachs, God, I pray that you would feed their souls and that people will come to know you. And thank you that you allow us to serve you in this way. Thank you for this morning. Help us process this information. Help us process. We love you. You're a great dad. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you.
Yes, give God a hand clap. Thanks, brother. I want to invite the Fellowship Hall to close downstairs at this time. We just heard a good word from the Lord, amen. And it's just really, it would be hard for us not to respond to that word. And a lot of us, we need to really accept that love from the Father above, who's not expecting us to surrender and surrender and surrender, but honestly, he wants us to submit to his plan, because his plan is far greater than ours. And so in this time, I want to invite the prayer ministers to come to the front, any prayer ministers, pastors. Paul and Sue, can you guys come up and pray as well? If you are here today and you say, you know what, I need prayer. I need someone to agree with me in prayer. I invite the deacons. Sabrina, can you come up as well? All the deacons in here. Now, some of us, we don't need to leave this place until we come here and up here and be prayed for. And maybe some of you in this room, you may have never receive the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's kind of hard to submit to someone who's not over you, who's not your Lord. that some of you, you need to make him your Lord today. And maybe some of you in this room, you say, you know what, Pastor Travis, I'm having a hard time submitting to him. Come up here and these prayer ministers and the deacons and the elders could agree with you in prayer. And some of you just had a crazy week, or you go into a crazy week, and you need somebody to pray with you. These people are here for you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, Lord. And Father, we pray that in this moment, Father, that your Holy Spirit may touch us, Lord God. Lord, help us to submit to you, Lord. We know that submitting is impossible on our own, God, but we need you to fill us, Lord God, with the Holy Spirit so that we can do that. And Father, I pray, Lord, for the lady in the room, Lord God, who feels ashamed to receive your grace for the mistake she's made. Father, I pray that you may touch her. I pray for the man on here, Lord God, who feels like he's not worthy to be in your presence. He's not worthy to be called the Son of God. Lord, would you touch him in this moment, God? And Father, we pray, God, that you may begin to have your way and that we may begin to bask in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, help us to understand it, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Could you all pray this prayer with me? Our Father. As it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us any trespasses. Those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, and my redeemer. Well, God bless you as you go. And remember, if you want to receive prayer today, let's come up to the front and we'll be here to pray for you. God bless you all.